Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk three times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Olin, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Just wish the Bears would have found a way to beat a backup quarterback and beat a struggling Baltimore team. But other than that, doing good.
I'm curious as you watch the tape and kind of weighed how they managed to lose that game. There was a big moment in that game where Caleb throws an interception. They're down 16-13. You feel like they've got some momentum, and he's just a little behind with that pass. And there was another guy that was open. He maybe made the wrong choice going to Rome Odunze. But how did all of it look on tape to you as you figured out exactly how it went down?
It looked like what we've been talking about with the Bears and how they beat themselves with penalties and also mental mistakes, right? Early on, everyone talking about they got to score at least one touchdown on those first two drives, right? Get the ball in the end zone, make it 10-0, not 6-0, or make it 14-0, which is obviously great if you do that. But down in the red zone, you know, you get close in Loveland, gets a false start. They overcome that. Caleb converts a really nice third down there. But also there's a mental mistake down there on second down on an inside zone run play. They let the nose guard go free, Travis Jones, and you just can't have a nose guard in the middle of a line trying to run inside zone and they go free. So got to find a way to get the ball in your playmaker's hands, find some design, some way, you know, either Caleb's legs on zone reads or Coastin Loveland or Rome Odunze or all these players that we have, some way to get the ball in the end zone, DJ Moore, right? Some way to get that to 10-0 on the road, make that team panic a little bit, maybe make them press and make the big mistake. But then you go to the interception, and there's a first of all is the punt, right? The really good punt by the Baltimore Ravens punter put them on the 4-yard line, which is kind of what our plan is supposed to be with our drafted punter Torrey Taylor. And then you're talking about, first of all, we don't get much yards on first down on a run play called, and then on second down, a clean pocket. You know, Caleb standing in the end zone, just kind of got to know where he is in the game and not force something to Rome Odunze. Obviously, the whole world with Twitter and video and film now, you see Manun guy come open there and you're thinking, well, why not throw it to him? I don't know what the progression is. The rookie linebacker for the Baltimore Ravens, number 40, drops Manun guy, makes a mistake there. You want Caleb to be able to see that, hit Manun guy, keep the chains moving, keep the drive going. We can even go to the drive right before half, right, with the intentional grounding and not running out of bounds. And obviously these are all things, if we talk about, okay, I heard you guys earlier in the morning talking about, okay, we want to win because of Caleb. Would they be great plays? Would they be tough plays to make? Would it be like you're processing information in the moment, on the run, running towards the sideline, make the right play, stop the clock, save your timeout? Yes, those are all big plays that, you know, here in his second year on his seventh game with a brand new head coach, we're waiting for him to make, be the reason we beat Tyler Huntley and the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, Olin, I wonder if you think this is accurate or valid or not, because I still believe that Caleb Williams can be that guy that you win because mm-hmm. of and can take you where you want to go and what you envisioned when you drafted him. But I also think that to do that, he's got to master the details. He's got to do the little things that, as you described, make a big difference. And I just don't think he's there yet. He doesn't anticipate mm-hmm. things the way you would want him to be. The intangibles seem to be lacking for whatever mm-hmm. reason. And is that too much to ask for a young quarterback to be able to do all of those little things?
It's a lot to ask for a young quarterback to know all those little things in his, you know, I mean, we're not even midway through, or we're right about midway through his second season with a brand new head coach, brand new quarterback coach, and TJ Barrett, and a brand new offensive coordinator, and Declan Doyle. But these are the things you ask for the number one pick of the draft. These are the things you ask when you go on the road on a four-game run where you're winning on a win streak and you got to put the ball in somebody's hand, and that's why you take him number one in the draft. So I think it both can be true, right, David? We say that a lot on air right now on radio. Is like, okay, we understand why you're not making the plays yet, but we do expect them out of you, right? We do want you at some point at the end of the first half to be Superman and make the exact right plays. So we know Cairo Santos can, all of us are sitting there like, well, he can't reach for 58 yards. So why do we do this May Day field goal, right? And Caleb did a nice job explaining a little bit about what happened on the intentional ground, right? He said Colson Loveland had an option route there. He was in the slot, and he was going to throw it at him. And if he does break out, so option route, as you guys know, but I'll explain for the listeners, Colson Loveland depends on the defender's leverage, what route he will run, right? Break it in or break it out. You know, in Caleb's defense, at first when I heard it, I thought, come on, Caleb, throw it at Colson Loveland's feet. But the defender is leveraged inside, which Colson Loveland then is supposed to go out. And in a protection, the guy, the linebacker comes free in the B gap. I don't know if Theo Benedict is supposed to come down, take that guy, let the widest defender go. These are all the little details, David and Molly, that you guys are talking about that really does. And you hear Coach Ben Johnson talking about, they really does separate on the road. If you can win on the road, if you can win football games on the road versus a team, like, you know, John Harbaugh was coaching him up in the bye week. Like, we gave Coach Ben Johnson and his staff all that praise for making all those adjustments in their bye week. You know, they went into their bye week and said, we got to fix some things. We got to use a quarterback that can run the ball. But just that little details there, right? Run out of bounds. And then Colson Loveland breaks it out. We throw it out instead of not out of bounds and no one's there. Or Theo Bandit come down, take a little pressure off of Caleb. So it all works together, but we are always going to hang it on the number one pick of the draft, the guy we want to be great, that we know around here, we've watched enough football through the years, that if your quarterback can do all those things, overcome little mistakes by other guys who are playing other positions, that you can keep advancing and keep making the playoffs every year. And that's why we expect a lot out of our young quarterback. And I think it's okay.
It's a great point, Olin. And to that end, I saw that John Harbaugh is now 9-1 coming out of the bye in the last 10 years. That is that's obviously an excellent record. And they did go to school and work on some things. Were you in any way surprised that Ben Johnson talked about, he didn't wash his hands of it, but he basically said, we've been pounding the drum on the penalties for so long, you know, it's got to be the leaders. And one of the first texts we had this morning is, Olin's not in the locker room. Who's going to be the leader that would do that? Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, we know who the captains are, and some of them are guys that haven't been here before. So it's just, it's, you know, can Joe Tooney start yelling at everyone about penalties? Can Grady Jarrett do that? Like, what is it that Ben Johnson is really looking for when he says that, or is that just frustration coming out?
No, I think that, you know, respect is earned, and no one cares what you say until they know that you care. To your point, Molly, is a lot of these guys haven't been together for a long time, right? That kind of respect, that kind of trust, that kind of getting someone's face and tell them what they need to do is earned through years of being with guys or being in the same locker room. And I think they're finding their way through that. Obviously, you guys know I didn't like the fact that the coach here in the seventh or eighth week is saying, well, we've done it. We've banged the drum as long as we can. And now it's on these leaders to take control of it. And what you do want, though, is you do want a player-led team, right? You do want guys who are in there and they're taking control of what they got to do. But if you're doing that, You can't be making mistakes. People got to see you studying, man. You got to earn their respect. You got to be there early. You got to be studying your film. You got to always be in the weight room. You got to be doing everything you can to help the team win before you ask guys to do things what they need to do, before you challenge guys on what they are doing and what they are not doing. So interesting thing, but, you know, to be fair, I did disagree with him when he took the blame on calling the quarterback sneak, and he thought that was a bad play. I thought it was a good play. I think you put all that money in the middle of your offensive line there, down there close to the goal line. Why can't your quarterback sneak it? Why did your quarterback talk about details? Why does he bounce it off to your brand new left tackle, Theo Bennett? Guys, I'm running behind Jonah Jackson, Dolman, Tooney, and my guy Darnell Wright, right? If I'm a quarterback sneak, put my head right on Darnell Wright's butt, pause, and I'm going to put that ball into the end zone, right? So, like, those are two things I kind of disagreed. And look, like we talked about at the postgame show, I get a chance and you get a chance. Everybody gets a chance to study film while Coach Ben Johnson is doing a press conference, right? So I can question the things he says as I'm going through the film. He may look at it this morning and see it a little differently. But what we're just talking about, the details on the road, these are the things that they've been harping on for weeks. They got to get that fixed if you want to beat a team like the Baltimore Ravens and put yourself squarely in the playoff run, which even at 4-3, right? They're right about, to be honest, where I thought they would be. If they would have got that win, they would have been ahead of where I thought they was going to be. You guys just know, and I know, man, when we heard Lamar Jackson is out, we thought to ourselves, here's a chance. Steal one, right? Steal one. Get to 5 wins in a row. And then you never know what happens as this year goes on. But looking for answers up there, Mully. Leadership. Get this thing fixed. Obviously, Cole Kmet's out. He's had problem with false starts. They've all had problem with false starts and making mistakes pre-snap and all these kind of things. And, you know, the intentional grounding that we just talked about. So they're looking for leadership. They're looking to get this stopped. They're looking for details. But I would argue it's not just the penalties. As I watched the film, there's a few mental mistakes, as we talked about earlier, on the film also.
Even player-led teams need strong coaching. I think when you look at the best teams, whatever examples you want to point to, the coaches are still the ones that can hold people accountable to the extent that you expect change. So when you talk about these penalties, if you're Ben Johnson, yeah, you can publicly put it on your leaders and hold them accountable that way. But Dolan, can't they, or is it realistic to expect them to pare down the offense, give them less and fewer shifts and do something with the cadence so it's not as elaborate? Or is that unrealistic? Or do you talk about a guy like whoever, Colston Loveland, has been somebody who's been had too many penalties? I don't know what options you have, but playing time is the best way to get somebody to change their behavior as well. Don't you have things in your disposal, if you are Ben Johnson, that you still can do to eliminate the penalties? Because I still believe those kinds of things fall under the category of discipline, and that's coaching.
And it's just, you try to empower your players, right? Like Lovey used to do a good job when I was here. And really all my coaches, Coach Geron also and Dave Wanstead, they would empower their leaders, right? Where you empower certain guys on your team, prop them up and you say, look, this is what we want to be like. This is the kind of work we want to do. And it just depends on who Ben Johnson, he's still learning those guys too, right? When coaches would first get in here, sometimes they would pick the wrong guys, right? And okay, man, as the year goes on, everyone's going to show you exactly who they are. Through 17 weeks in an NFL season, you can't hide who you are. You can't hide the amount of work you're putting in, the amount of focus, the amount of preparation you're putting into each week, each game, mental mistakes. Are you making mental mistakes? Are you coming to the sideline? Are we hearing the things that you're actually seeing on the field? Or are you just seeing things that aren't actually going on? So the guys that you're trusting on your team, David, the guys Coach Ben Johnson is looking for, he may still be looking for them, right? He may be still trying to figure out who he has on his team. Who are the leaders on this football team? And you got to almost go through a large part of the season to get to who you want to trust, because for 6, 7, 8 weeks, sometimes guys can fool you. But week 10, week 12, week 13, man, when it's working, when that season's still dragging on, that's when you figure out who are the guys still putting in the work, still putting the preparation. And we understand, to your point, that these are a lot of young guys that have to learn, have to be on a field, and have to make mistakes. And remember, Colston Loveland was out for a couple of weeks, and he was injured, so he lost some time. He lost some playing time, some of the preparation. All of a sudden, sudden they lose Cole Kmet, who's their Swiss Army knife, who does a lot of the motions and the stuff that you're talking about. And now just the little things are off. I know they used Ozzie Trapillo yesterday in a little bit more of a tight end role, that Cole Kmet went down and went a little big, went extra tackle in the game. But these are things that they're going to have to work on. And remember, Caleb, I don't know, I don't want to speak for him, but through high school and through college, not a lot of under center, right? Not a lot of cadence, not a lot of play calls. So they're working through a lot of things. We want to see that get corrected. We want to see that get fixed. We want to see the coaches, and like you're talking about, great point, and the players together got to fix this. A couple of the leaders and the coaches, who's going to help us get these guys moving in the right direction, is what Coach Ben Johnson is talking about there. And it's just frustration on the podium after the game, because it's like, man, we've been fixing this. We've been saying this, right? And there's a saying, good high school coach I coached with up there at Carmel Catholic, who's having a great year with Jason McKee and their young quarterback, Coach Scott Steiner, used to say, man, if everything's a problem, nothing's a problem. By that, he means if you're always yelling about the same thing, guys start to tune you out a little bit. So maybe Coach Ben Johnson's talking about, look, man, we need someone else to say these things, to emphasize the little details in practice, because obviously we keep yelling the same things and no one's listening anymore.
You know, I hate to ask this question, Olin, but the trade deadline...
Ask it anyway.
I'm powering through. But the trade deadline is November 4th. You look at the Bears and their secondary in particular. We know that Smith got hurt early. He's out for the year. We know that... that Jalen Johnson gets hurt, he's out for the rest of the year, or maybe he could come back for the playoffs, whatever. You know that you're going to be without a guy for the next 3 weeks in the injured corner that went to a school out on
Tyler Gordon.
East. Yes, I was joking about your connection to him. but I think that, you know, you look at Tyreek Stevenson, he might miss another game. I don't know how you're going to defend these guys. You know, the whole world needs a corner. I understand it would cost a fortune. And by the way, you know, Braxton Jones, who you thought might be a guy, or at least was listed as a guy who might have value if he's not going to be around, he's on IR as well. And it's just the very fact that he's on IR means you couldn't trade him by November 4th. Would you trade anyone or any picks, or is it just not the time to contemplate how to fix the secondary beyond sort of a scrap heap signing?
Yeah, you go into that game worried about it, right? Because, you know, Lamar is out, but you say, man, we don't have anybody in our secondary that was a starter, right? And then you got Nick McCloud out there. You got Jalen Jones. At one point, I looked out there and Zay Flowers in the slot and Noel Sewell is covering him, right? And you're thinking, oh, man, they're just looking for substitutions and that secondary is really depleted. And with their blitz, wasn't as great without Kyler Gordon coming off the edge and gives a guy an extra second or an extra step. I think it was like second and 22. And it looked like maybe somebody could have got there, but they converted to a first down from second and 22 at 1.1 in their first touchdown. So like you're talking about, the Bears, if they're a playoff team, do they go out there and get a cornerback, right? And that's the question you ask yourself, right? Do we want to give up our assets for later down the road to fix what we have right now? And in my opinion, I don't know everyone's injuries up there. I don't know how long they're out. Kyler Gordon, kind of a disappointing year we're going through here with him and how excited Dennis Allen was about him and can't do anything about injuries. But I guess my quick answer would be, I don't know. I would say no. I wouldn't give up my assets right now to go out there and get a player who would make a difference, right? I don't want to give up a first to a third round pick for later down the road. We just talked about how young this team is, how much they have to work through, where they have to get. And then you just lost that game yesterday, and you're talking about a playoff run and a championship run, right? We're trying to make a playoff and a championship run here. Then you go and trade for a guy. Are you that kind of team? Are you in that kind of position? Well, if you could tell me 15 takeaways are coming every four games, then yeah, go make the trade, right? But I'm going to go up on the grease floor, put all those things up if I'm Ryan Poles, right? Put where we are, why we need this guy, what are we going to be down the road, what do we got to give up for, what really just happened for us to go on this four-game win streak. And for me, just answering the question quickly for you and not going through that whole process, I would say no. I would say they're not where they are right now in their where they're trying to get to a championship football team to go make that trade and give up early assets to go get that. Early assets in the draft, I mean.
I would agree with that, Olin, and I think that's really well put and great stuff this morning. Terrific. Yep.
Thanks, Olin.
Analysis. Appreciate you guys.
Yep.
You're the best.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
On the interception?
It was a good read.
And what was your vantage point on the interception that Caleb threw there?
Just in my mind, there might have been another option that we could have gotten to.
About that. This is Raheemi Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. That was Ian Eagle, J.J. Watt. Poor J.J. Watt just saying, oh no, during a lot of the broadcast.
Oh no!
Shades of Tony Romo there, but JJ saying what we were all thinking at the time. And then you heard Caleb Williams talk about the interception versus what Ben Johnson had to say. It is my belief that Kyle Manongai was open in the flat on that interception. This is Raheemi Harrison Grody on 670 The Score.
The thing about the oh no with J.J. Watt is that he was very excited when he saw a good football play. But the oh no, that signifies a bad play was made. Whoever was doing it, right?
It was the goal to go at the end of the game where
DJ Moore,
as I reached 40, for my notebook, that 42 was the yards. Quarterback sneak. But here's my issue with that. Shouldn't you be able to run a quarterback sneak?
Yes.
Yes.
Like that, it was like, oh, that was a really bad idea. Wait a second. How much money did you just spend on guard, center, guard? The hell are we talking about?
Guys, do we remember?
Was he trying to run behind guard, center, guard, or was he over here, maybe a little outside of his lane where he's supposed to run?
It was, the angle was bad.
Yeah, it was.
The angle was bad. The go-around was bad.
Guys, I gotta jam this in here. The earlier,
well, unlike the quarterback sneak.
Oh, I see what you did there.
I left it all open for you guys.
Go ahead.
But earlier this year, I can't think of the team it was against, so shame on me. But there was a 3rd-and-1, 4th-and-1 situation earlier this year. Caleb trying to run behind the interior,
yes. And
he missed it back to back. And so I was all for Ben Johnson saying, okay, we figured some things out. Go ahead, QB sneak. Now, you can argue it was a bad play call, too, because no matter what, that keeps the clock moving. If you fail on it, the clock is going to move.
The clock management by a head coach was not good yesterday.
Right. So that you could, like, I will hear the people who say that's a bad play call, but I will always say if you are worth your life on the offensive line and as a quarterback like Caleb Williams, who has told us how he's a big guy, he is thicker than most quarterbacks. He should be able to get through that line. So that is what I would say. Like, you have to be able to get 1 yard from that interior.
I just think there are signs. I said this earlier during the week when the Bears themselves talked about the importance of being able to score touchdowns.
Yes.
In football games. I say that tongue in cheek, but you know what I'm trying to say. The red zone needs to be able to yield touchdowns. That is the sign of a healthy offense. Thusly, you should also be able to run a quarterback sneak because that's a sign of a healthy offense. Like, you should have short yardage plays that work. There should be some things where sheer forward momentum and falling forward gets you yards. Like, any functioning offense in the league should have that, especially when we're, yes, they spend a lot of money on both the offensive and the defensive lines. You know, the other part of this that we haven't said was how bad the defense was for the Ravens going into the game.
Yes.
32nd in scoring. That's last.
That's why I changed 30th. My pick.
30th in opposing quarterback rating. That means Caleb Williams should have been able to wreck shop. 26th against the run. Even with a banged up DeAndre Swift, there's a reason the Bears wanted to run Kyle Manungai more. 28th against the pass. That means that your other routes should have been cooking too. Sideline, post, dig, whatever else, not just over the middle. Tied for last in sacks. And that's something we did see. But theoretically, that means you should have more time to look at what you need to throw the ball. You should be able to make better reads. Now, I'm not saying it always works that way, but the odds were in your favor overwhelmingly. Add to that the fact that Lamar Jackson wasn't playing, and a 1-5 team that you should have been able to step on the throat a little bit, knowing that they also had a Thursday game coming up, and I'm sure that was on their minds too.
The Bears' last drive was, even though it was probably going to be meaningless, even if they had gotten into the end zone, it already felt like the game was over. It was a microcosm of the disorganization this team has had when they are in the deep red zone as they were, because we didn't even talk about. And I think that it's a great play that DJ Moore makes on the 42-yard. He grabs it with one hand and then secures it, gets it down there, doesn't go out of bounds. I think he thought he was going to score. I'd be anxious to hear from DJ Moore, and I will certainly ask him when I see him in the locker room later on. But you had J.J. Watt losing his mind at that moment, too.
Agreed.
Get out of bounds. Get out of bounds.
Oh, no.
Get out of bounds.
Yeah,
what's
oh,
in
no.
the box? Like,
what's in the box?
That's what it felt like, because he did it two times. He did a get out of bounds, and then he does a get out of bounds. It was really interesting to hear him throughout that. But that is, even though you're not going to win the game, that is a microcosm of it all because of the disorganization by the players in that moment, and maybe even Ben Johnson.
This is Raheemy Harrison-Grody as you're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips.
The thing that kills me is that if you look at the overall total stats, I mean, the Bears, they outgained the Ravens 372 to 355. As far as third down efficiency, 6 for 13, which isn't great, but it's not terrible. They're 46.2%. The Ravens, just 4 for 10.
They 40%. Didn't have to be. They
but,
scored.
But they weren't out here. They weren't out here hanging out on third down. That's the thing. You don't have to get the third down on your drives.
And they scored points.
Yes.
What a concept. Also, can I just say this? Did anybody think Cairo Santos was going to make the 58-yarder? Because I did not.
The hurricane kick?
We got Braden Aubrey out here trying to nail 70, and the new ball has definitely added some length to everybody's kicks, except here. Except here.
Layla, I told you guys, death drive. I had three death drives in this. I already gave you my number one death drive.
Three death drives.
So here, you just gave me a perfect excuse to give death drive three. Number three. Death drive.
Number three.
Wisconsin death trap. It was 10-6. Ravens late in the second. Caleb Williams with a sick 20. He took the space, runs it 22 yards, but then an intentional grounding, a loss of down, a loss of yards, and a loss of a timeout, and then hurricane time. Come on, Cairo, get out here, get out here, get out. 5-4-3, 58-yard field goal miss. Death drive three. You'll have to wait for number two. It's coming soon.
Absolutely no one who has followed the Bears for any reasonable amount of time thought that Cairo Santos was going to make a 58-yard field goal, not in a dome.
I mean, you have to try. Like, I get it.
Yeah, no,
I get
it.
That's the
agreed.
Right decision.
Agreed.
But it didn't
agreed.
Have to be a 58-yarder,
as
Mark's point.
I was just sitting there, and I'm like, nah, I'll believe it when I see it.
I thought maybe with all the adrenaline, coming
it
out there.
It was short,
kind of,
4 yards.
Yeah, it wasn't like it hit the post or anything. This was
like me hoisting a three. It was just nowhere near.
If they had someone back there, he could have run it back.
The ball is short.
That would have been a good idea, actually.
58 yards probably made it, 54 yards or so?
I'm thinking more like 53 yards.
53, yeah, and the ball's short. 53. In my head, I'm like, aw, because it's like right on target. I feel bad for that football.
It was right down the middle.
The football's just a baby.
The football's just a baby.
It's just a baby.
It's like it ran out of gas.
We needed a grown man football to do grown man things in that situation.
You know what? We needed somebody to step up on the Bears and be a grown man. And unfortunately, like typically it would be DeAndre Swift. Like we saw that, of course, in the last game. But we knew that he was banged up. We knew it. Like everybody talked about it during the week. It was a similar injury report to what we saw earlier. Let's go back and listen to. I think it's important to discuss that. So we talked about the sequence with Cairo Santos and the missed field goal before halftime. Let's hear from Ben Johnson as to what he had to say about it.
You were at the end of the first half with the intentional grounding, and then you guys had to kind of scramble to get the kick off there. To end.
Yeah, I thought we had a chance there for points before half. We had a good opportunity to do that, and the intentional grounding certainly didn't help. And so now we're in a position third and long with no timeouts where we know if it's a clock running and we're short of the line to gain that we'll need to get our Hurricane unit out there, our field goal team out there real quick. So I thought the execution of all that was nice, but that's a really long field goal. And so it's a low percentage deal, something that we would like to avoid. So that intentional grounding certainly hurt us.
Here's my issue, though, is he's right. That is a low percentage deal. You try it because that's your job and that's what you do. But it's everything leading up to it. Like for everybody who points out pass interference on DeAndre Hopkins doesn't get called, or Joe Tooney's offside or false start penalty was a trash penalty. The issue is they put themselves in the situations where we're having to talk about this stuff because you're not doing the simple things. You're not throwing the simple routes. You're not executing on a 1 yard quarterback sneak. Yeah, that's the problem for me. It's just what you said, Mark, the intentional grounding and everything that led to everything. I talk about one loss not beating you twice. You can't have it happen in a game where you're constantly going backwards and putting yourself into these positions.
Yeah, and the bigger thing for me is the way the first half ended and the way the game ended, frankly, where you have the DJ Moore. That drive, that's one of your death drives, right?
Well, no, that was...
That's not even one of your death drives.
Believe it or not, it's not a death drive because ultimately it was probably inconsequential. The Bears, even if they had scored their...
Onside kick, well, get it back, yes, Hail Mary.
There's a chance.
Are we to the level of the video game of onside kick yet?
Yeah, I hate the onside kick. I hope they go to 4th and 18.
I would have liked to have seen the Bears have that opportunity, but let's be real here.
So my thing is this, that drive, to me, epitomizes what the Bears offense is this season. You get the big, beautiful scrambling play for the one-handed catch for DJ Moore, you get all the way down inside the five, and then, of course, you don't come up with a touchdown. That is the Bears offense in a nutshell. We can be beautiful, we can do big things, but don't expect us to pay it off big at the end.
Well, the sexy's great, but if you're not doing the simple stuff, like if you're not... It's like cooking a meal. Like somehow you know how to make duck confit, but you don't do peanut butter and jelly. Yeah, like you need both.
Wow.
Have you been to fancy foods?
Yeah, I like that. The duck confit, I wasn't ready for that. But yeah.
But that's kind of my point. Like I love the try to be Superman plays, but not when they result in intentional grounding and interceptions that are easily right over the middle. Like I shouldn't be able to see it coming. Yeah, that's my issue. And I hate to say this, but this is a crucial month where we can't be as patient when you see the rest of the league and how other quarterbacks who were drafted at the same time are excelling. This is going to be cyclical. It is not linear progress. I'm aware of that. But when you're seeing the same mistakes being made, that's when I have an issue. And for whatever reason, it bothered me that Caleb Williams said that was an issue with Colston Loveland on the hot read on the intentional grounding. And I don't really know why it bothered me, but at some point you also have to say that's on me. Like my job is to also read the field. And I feel like he's done that. He's done that. He talked about it last week. I've got to be better. I know I can be. I'm not trying to take that away from him. But in those moments, like that's a rookie. You know, he's out there. Is there a better way to address it?
I think I was okay with it because guess what? Ben Johnson does the same thing to Caleb Williams.
But that's head coach, and that's the quarterback.
I understand,
that's different.
But how many head coaches do you actually hear getting that specific? I mean, we know the predecessors around here didn't. It's a pretty unique thing with a star quarterback, like or it's star in the making, hopefully, to be that open. And Ben Johnson has been hard in public on him, so which I don't have a problem with. I mean, it benefits us, and I think it probably benefits the Bears. So in with because of what you said, Layla, because Caleb has had culpability for his mistakes this year, in a lot of cases, I thought that was okay. I did not have a problem with him calling out his rookie tight end.
I'll never have a problem with someone telling me the truth as they see it, because that's all I ask for is be authentic, let us know. And if you want to be discreet and not tell us everything, that's one thing. But if you are going to speak on something, just tell us the truth.
Ben Johnson also talked about the final three plays of the game at the goal line, the oh no from J.J. Watt. So let's listen to that.
Any sense of what happened on the last three plays of the game? Obviously, you get down there. It's a desperate situation, but you've got a completion short of the goal line, a quarterback sneak, and then a fourth down play.
Yeah, I don't like my call on the quarterback sneak. I could have gotten to something better there. But, yeah, I mean, we have plays set up to go tempo down there, and I probably didn't do enough job in that department.
I don't know, man. I feel like you should be able to run the sneak okay.
Well, they did not execute the sneak. So maybe what he's saying, and this is kind of something I've been alluding to, is I think Ben Johnson, halfway through a season, is getting to the point where he understands very well what guys can and cannot do and how much of a chance he's taking in calling certain plays. I think with that play specifically, I think he's understanding we just don't run that well enough for me to call it in that money, have to have it situation. There's other stuff he probably has that he was probably holding for a later date that he was like, I don't want to put this on film for anybody else to be able to stop.
I think that's my issue too, is what can you run when you know you need something?
Right.
What can you go to? What do you know this team does well? Anyone?
I think they do some things well, and I think that's been shown against lesser competition. And I know they face their second straight one-win team when we talk about the Saints and the Ravens, but the Saints and the Ravens are not the same team.
Yeah, I guess if you're, what do the Bears do well? I mean, nothing really stands out in terms of a bread, unless you want to say Rome Odunze. Like, there's been some nice chemistry with Rome Odunze.
DJ Moore over Rome Odunze. I know that the chemistry has not been the same with those two players, but at least you know if you put the ball in DJ Moore's hands, whether it's in space or in traffic, he is going to go forward.
So they do DJ Moore well? I think that's a different topic.
There's nobody consistent. And sometimes that's a good thing, too, because then you're saying, oh, well, everybody's getting the ball. But the one thing the head coach told you that he wanted to improve on, they didn't do. And to me, that's got to be issue number one. And people are like, 219 is like, they can move the ball. They just need to figure out the red zone. That's the difference between the winning and losing teams in the National Football League.
Sure is.
Like, that's the point.
Which does bring me to death drive number. Do I have time for my last death drive?
They're saying we got a break.
Okay.
Also, people are saying death drive is a bad movie coming up. Like, it's at a theater.
That's a real thing?
I prefer to think of it as a heavy metal band.
I thought that was Mark Grody trademark, but apparently it exists.
People are making the joke. Oh, That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah, no, I think it sounds like a heavy metal band. Death Drive.
Mark Grody stars in Death Drive.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Grody, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk three times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
He's, I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is the Spiegel and Holmes Show. With so much drama in the LBC, it's kind of hard being Snoop Deal Double G. Or actually, it seems pretty easy. We've got a fun show for you today. Kurt Warner is going to join us at 3 o'clock. Mark Potash is going to talk Bears with us at 4:25. The whole crew is here. Tanny and I are celebrating the 20th anniversary of the White Sox winning the World Series. Alex is here. That man is Matt Spiegel.
With my mind on my money and my money on my mind. That was a grim football viewing experience yesterday. Injuries piling up, attrition on defense, no offensive excellence to rise above, the growing fear that your quarterback might be even further away than you think here on the developmental track. That was not a lot of fun.
And you played against a third-string quarterback who turned your lights out.
He really did. And I said in transition, and that, like, I felt like I was watching two quarterbacks who can't do everything that a top-tier offense needs to do. And Caleb still believes that he can, and I understand he's young and he hasn't been convinced of it just yet. Tyler Huntley knows exactly what he is and just chose to manage a game, protect the ball, sublimate his ego, and his team was able to win. And I think if Caleb did the same yesterday, his team would have been able to win.
Yeah, it does feel that way where you look at the performance and you go, oh man, there was more there. There were more opportunities for the Bears offensively, and they're not getting to them. The thing that kept ringing through my head is what Olin told us last week when Olin said, what is this defense if they aren't taking the ball away at a crazy rate?
Takeaways, not being there yesterday, zero after 15 in a four-game span. You saw a lot of flaws.
Yeah, and they have a ton of injuries, and that needs to be put on the record. That you are talking about mixing and matching. You're talking about your fifth and sixth combo at cornerback right now. I don't think they were expecting to not have Kyler Gordon for 4 weeks.
Whew. Man, that thing. We talked about it the other day. We said, if Kyler goes on IR, that will be jarring. Consider that news jarring on Saturday, man. That is a weapon away from the defense and simple depth. I mean, what they did, they had McLeod and Nashawn Wright as your outside corners. Then when they went to the nickel, they put McLeod inside, and there's Jalen Jones outside.
Yep.
That's what you had. And it wasn't enough. But yeah, no, for sure. Look, all three phases have responsibility to share for that loss yesterday. Oh,
you mean HT not going to put the mic up and do a little a hot 10 for you this week? You might have some other things that he needs to work on before he goes up there to the Chuckle Hut on Thursday?
Nothing infuriates you like HT's unit. I mean, it just...
it's.
You get infuriated by the unit of HT.
It bothers me that special teams is a problem for the Bears. It bothers me more that the special teams coordinator loves to yuck it up and loves to tell you about what's going on. Why don't you fix what's going on special teams first? He's got a hot 10 for you.
Where is
Richard Hightower, H-Mac?
Nah, his name is HT. You coached the man for almost 3 years. You don't even know his damn nickname. His name is Stinger. That's his name.
That guy after the performance yesterday, dude. He should be real quiet walking around down there. Just make it so that no one sees you. Because
that Dallas defense.
Oh.
They give up almost as many yards as the Dallas offense gains.
Yeah. You have Dak playing at like an MVP level, and then he looks around like, wait, how many points did we give up? 44.
Oh,
it seems like a lot.
I was troubled yesterday. I found myself a little scared. I want to live in the place of optimism. Lawrence,
that's your whole thing.
Well, it's your bit. I desire to live there, and the common sense would say to be patient and be optimistic here on the quarterback development track. But I was just, It's the moments of the lack of football awareness that really kind of freaked me out a little bit yesterday. Like, not running out of bounds after that 22-yard gain is just is a really weird lack of football awareness. The throw to DJ Moore in the back of the end zone at the end, when he decided to lead him, even though he was standing in the middle of the back of the end zone, wide open, he just decided to throw it sidearm through the window that he saw and assumed that DJ would have known that was coming. That was weird. And then his interpretation of the interception after Ben's interpretation of the interception.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
Let's hear them discuss the interception. This is Ben, then Caleb on that.
And what was your vantage point on the interception that Caleb threw there?
I didn't quite see it. I'll have to check it out on film just one more time. Just in my mind, there might have been another option that we could have gotten to.
What's your read on the interception?
Yeah, it was a good read. Rome, man-to-man with the guy that caught the pick, and I just didn't give a good ball to Rome.
You leave the Mariners out of this.
Julio Rodriguez with a thought. That was not a good read.
It was not.
I mean, what's the read? The read there is...
It's never a good read when the DB is running the route. Like, that's not good. Because, and it might not have been a great route either. I would need a wide receiver expert to help me on that. I wonder if Rome could have flattened that out a little bit more. Maybe. But when you see the DB be like, I know exactly what's getting ready to happen. I'm going to run the route for the receiver. I'm going to cross his face and pick this ball off. And he was running towards another defender.
You read the DB after? Bigsy talked to him.
What'd he say?
Marlon Humphrey said, yeah, I got burned by two crossers earlier in the game. I wasn't going to let that happen again. I'm paraphrasing, but that was basically it. It's a veteran DB who's like, oh, yeah, I saw what they were doing. Right. So I was just going to go ahead and go for that.
And then I ran the route.
I ran the route and I undercut the thing and I was right there. It. Yeah. You guys see that part where I caught
where
it?
Where I caught it and I almost scored on
yeah.
it?
Yeah. He wasn't throwing it to me, but I'm the one who caught it. And I mean, that was, if anything, it's a very, very late throw. Like, you could throw it at the break, maybe, but that's not a good read. So that's a lack of understanding. Those are three. And there's others. There's little things like the feet were bad a couple of times on a 3rd and 7 to end that second drive. Well, so they set up for three again. But there's the lack of football awareness is the stuff that scares me.
Even with the DJ Moore thing, and I'm with you on that. There's the thing that bothers me the most is exactly why did you drop down 3/4 for that throw? This has become a thing for me when I'm watching quarterbacking on every single level. I get that at times you do have to make a matrix throw and that there are a lot of guys in the NFL that are capable, well, not a lot, but there's a bunch of guys in the NFL that have gotten really good at it and it makes everyone else think that they can do it.
Yes.
Caleb is a guy that can do it.
Sometimes,
okay?
When necessary. When,
but I think that he often reverts to doing flat-footed throws instead of standing there pointing at the target, or at least having the back foot pointed at the target and letting it rip. And he did it on the goal line, and I'm like, why did he throw that ball like that?
Because there was a lane with which to do it, I guess, but he thought that it, I don't know, that it would look cooler.
I don't know if this is like the Steph Curryization of the NFL. If everyone thinks that they have to kind of do it like Mahomes,
I think it's a Pat Mahomesization of quarterbacking. I think you're on it, and he's been hearing that forever. And we touched on it last week that when possible, have good mechanics. And Brett Favre is the one that I came to who learned that eventually. It took him a while. I know Mike Holmgren broke that kid.
I mean, that's broke why him. He ended up in Green Bay.
Yeah, because Atlanta's like, yeah, no way.
It'll never happen.
Right. And one guy who didn't learn it, you and I have both gotten here at different times. But Caleb Cutler is a name that came out of my mouth in the past. and came out of my mouth yesterday as I'm sitting there and watching it. The arrogance to think that your arm is good enough to squeeze it into a window. The arrogance to think, the ego to think that you don't need to have the good mechanics and set your damn feet when you actually have time to do so.
He hasn't gone full Cutler, and you never want to go full
don't
Cutler.
Don't care. Yeah,
I think that it's such a fine line, and I want to be fair, as fair about this as I can be. Anyone who plays that position has to be almost close to sociopathic. They have to believe that they can make that throw, they can make that run, they can move a safety with their eyes, mm-hmm. all of that stuff. So I understand where it comes from. It's a matter of when is the point when you understand that you have to submit a little bit to the game itself. Now, I would have thought that last year, and I don't like the idea of like a humbling, but with all of the things that Caleb went through last year and as many times he got hit, now granted, he's not getting hit as many times this year, which is a great thing, and he showed to be a very durable quarterback, I would have thought that some of those lights would have clicked on I'm not playing Oregon State. I'm not playing against Cal. These are the guys can make plays. And so yes. In some of those games, you could be late on throws and your wide receiver maybe catches it a little bit behind him and is able to make something happen because of the inferiority of the players. Mm-hmm. We talked about it on Friday, Speaks. It's a proud football team that they played.
Dude, that's a thing. And you knew that some of those guys were going to step up. It's Nate Wiggins who made the pick, not Humphrey. So my mistake for interpolating them.
I think Humphrey he jumped a route earlier in the game and almost came up with it too.
Here's the quote from Nate Wiggins after the game. First quarter or earlier in the game, they threw two crossing routes and I had them completed on me. That time I read it. I said, you're not going to get it again. And so that's Nate Wiggins thoroughly reading it. And he did make a great play on the game. And it is unfortunate, as Caleb said, where it was on the field. It's just you got to be the one that helps your team rise above in a game like that. That is the expectation of the position and your pedigree at the position.
That's where I think we're at. Like, are you able to elevate the team through your play? Can you do that? And I'm not sure if we can point to any game outside of the Dallas one and say that it was because of him versus it was because of a full team effort. By the way, full team effort is great. Full team effort will get you to the playoffs. It will. It will. But you're hoping that as this goes on, and still really early in this particular relationship,
yes,
that we get to the place where he's the difference maker.
Well, that's the hope.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.